Well, good morning, everybody. I'm Pastor Joshua. I'm the senior pastor here at Christ Center, and I love it. I love being with you guys. I love working with this team. And today, we're going to be doing part two of a series that we're in, and it is a series about faithfulness in the workplace. And so we're going to jump in, and I'm really loving this. How many of you guys enjoyed hearing from some of our specialists in their field last week, right? That was awesome. We're going to get some more of that today, so let me get in here so I can make lots of room for that. So today, what I want to talk to you about is the reality that our work and our rest is worship. Our work and our rest is worship unto the Lord. And that our life in work and rest flows out of our identity as sons and daughters. And lastly, I want you to catch this today in this message, that everything we do here is to benefit people. And when we serve people, we're serving God himself. This is a key thing for us to understand. We're never acting more like our true selves as sons and daughters of our awesome dad than when we're serving others and glorifying him in our work. When people are watching and when they're not, it all matters. It all matters. It's not meaningless. It matters. In fact, the scriptures remind us that Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. How many of you guys remember this? And he said this, I only do what I see my Father doing. And we get to do the same in our assignments in life. This is what shows that we're his people. When you and I are doing, when we're working like Jesus, when we're acting like Jesus, when we're serving like Jesus, this actually shows that we're his people in how we work. Come on. In fact, let's jump in here in Genesis. Genesis 1:1-4 says this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. That word deep can also be translated as chaos. That there was this chaos, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light, and God saw that it was good. Then he goes on to create for the next few days, and you guys know what's up there, but I'm going to jump in on 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created him. And God blessed them, and he said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Chabad, subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Now, go look at this with me. The first mention of God, what's he doing? He's working. The first mention of God. In the beginning, God created. The first mention of God, when we see him in his godness, our introduction to him, he's showing us who he is as he works. That's a Selah right there. Then once he's created earth, he creates us and he gives us a job extending his culture in creation. Did you catch that? He says, I'm blessing you to be fruitful and multiply, to rule over the world, to rule over the earth, to subdue the earth. Which means that if you're subduing the earth, the thing we got to catch, right? He puts them in a garden, but he wants to extend his kingdom over the earth. Because how many of you guys noticed there was a little bit of a battle going on even in the garden? Because who showed up in the garden to tempt Adam and Eve? The enemy. So when God was saying, I want you to extend my kingdom, it wasn't this like kicking back naked, just eating, you know, grapes and chilling, doing nothing. There was a job to be done. It was a naked job. I'll give you that. But they were covered with the glory of God. Shame had not entered. But they were to extend the garden, and they were to fill it with kids and teach them to do the same thing, to extend his kingdom. He gave us a purpose. We got to join him in what he created and join him in co-creating and extending his kingdom in this earth. They get invited in this job, gardening and making more people while living in relationship with him. And you and I are invited into the same family business. Now, I want you to catch this. If Satan has convinced us that work doesn't matter, then he's already wrecked our identity. Think about that. If Satan has convinced us that our work does not matter, that it is of very little value, then he has already marred and twisted and wrecked your identity, because you were created by the Creator who works, and you're called to his work in all that you do. When he convinces us that one of the most meaningful things that we've been created to do is part of the curse, think about that for a minute. Our identity as God's sons and daughters is found in joining him. First in rest, right? We were created on the sixth day, and our first day was the Sabbath, hanging out with him, where he's like, what do you think? Check it out. First of all, welcome. I'm your daddy. And I love you, and I'm awesome. Secondly, I want you to name all these animals. Got a job for you to do. And then I want you to cultivate this earth and fill it. And Adam's like, it's kind of lonely here. How am I going to do that? And he's like, chip off the old block. I thought you'd never ask, right? He makes Eve, and he says, here's what I want you to do. So we are created to join him in his work. We start in rest, and he shows us that work, and we're to continue it here on earth. God has given us the Sabbath. How many of you guys know the Sabbath is a gift? We rest and we rejoice in him. We rejoice in our relationship with him and the wonderful things of the earth. But he's also given us 6 days to, come on, alongside of him in the places that he's put us. This is where the relationship's at. Where the relationship's at with the Lord is where you are. It's where you work. It's where you've been assigned. It's your area. Now, it might not all look like a garden city yet, but you're there to help it get there. In fact, this is the key I want you to catch, right? It's done with him. Work is to be done with God. Work is relational. When we miss this relational part of work, everything I'm saying doesn't make a bit of sense. Like, if you think that you're going to go out there and try to do stuff, but he's not there with you, I mean, how many of you have lived a day that feels like that, right? It's terrible. But when we understand that we're joining him in his work, and that when we work, our identity is most engaged, we're with him in that, suddenly it becomes an adventure again. Suddenly, purpose is released. Suddenly, I begin to see this the way that he sees it. So let me share. In fact, John 5:17 says this. Jesus answered them, my Father is working until now, and I am. So Jesus, the Father didn't do creation for 6 days and then sit down and be like, whoo, my dogs are barking, and stop doing anything. He's still working, and we're co-laboring with him. I mean, you know, and by the way, he said be fruitful and multiply. He started out with two people, and now right now there's like 8 billion people alive right now. There's more people alive right now than have existed in all from creation until now. This is a big moment we're in, right? I think we're on the precipice of a billion soul harvest. For the first time in history, we could actually see 1 billion people come to Christ at one time. Are you guys even alive? It's the spring forward thing, isn't it? All right, well, keep going with me. All right, so the Father is still working. It's working, guys. It's happening. He's working. And Jesus says, since the beginning, my Father's working, even now he's working, so we have to see our work as a part of relationship with him. I want to draw attention to something that's very important for us to understand regarding the work that we do that does not maybe necessarily feel like it directly causes you to interact with people. Are you with me? Like, that can be challenging, right? I mean, I'm talking about serving people. So for those of us who may find ourselves working alone for large parts of our trade, how does this serve people? How's this meaningful? Has anybody in here ever grappled with that? You know, when you're, nobody? You don't want to raise your hands. It's okay. Not everybody's an extrovert like me. Truly, we all do have times in our life where we are alone. Like, we all have times where we work alone. Even if you have a higher, like, customer service interaction piece, you're still going to have that back office stuff or those other things that you do by yourself. So this helps all of us. But some of us, we do find ourselves working where no one's actually looking at us. And it can be perhaps challenging for you. I don't know about you guys, but sometimes that can be challenging to find meaning in our work, where you're like, okay, I get it for those people that get to interact and help people and they're serving, that feels really direct. And if serving people means serving God, I get it. But you're like, how do I do that when I'm like, you know, installing some plumbing under a house. I don't, are you with me?
Yeah.
Okay. So I want to draw attention to this, I think, fascinating aspect of the story. So the first mention that we see of the Holy Spirit. Am I talking too fast? Are you guys still with me? Are we doing all right? All right, I'm feeling all self-conscious. I don't know why. Okay, all right, I'm doing good. Georgia says I'm doing good. All right. The first mention we see of the Holy Spirit is hovering over the face of the deep, over the uncreated chaos, as it were, and creates everything, makes something beautiful. The second mention that we see of the Holy Spirit in scriptures is him anointing the craftsmen to build the articles for the tent of meeting, the Ark of Covenant. Did you catch that? The Spirit fills the craftsmen to build a place for the presence of God to meet with humankind. I'm going to read it to you. Exodus 31, 1 through 11 says, "The Lord said to Moses, 'See, I've called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah.'" Listen to this. "I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with ability and intelligence, with knowledge and all craftsmanship, to devise artistic designs, to work in gold, silver, and bronze, in cutting stones for setting, and in carving wood, to work in every craft. And behold, I've appointed with him Oholiab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, and I have given to all able men ability, that they may make all that I have commanded you, the tent of meeting." Listen to the list of things they're making. "The ark of the testimony, the mercy seat that it's on, all the furnishings of the tent, the table and its utensils, and the pure lampstand with all of its utensils, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offering with all of its utensils, and the basin and its stand, and the finely worked garments, and the holy garments for Aaron and the priest, and the garments of his sons for their service as priests, and the anointing oil, and the fragrant incense for the holy place, according to all that I have commanded you, they shall do." Holy Spirit is still filling each of us to engage in our areas of work to make a place of excellence. A place that speaks of his presence, to demonstrate his heart, to meet the needs of his creation. All of Israel was impacted by the work of these craftsmen. The Spirit of God was present and remained present with these men and women who prepared a place for Israel to meet with God. And this hasn't changed. Be encouraged. This has not changed. We each have access through relationship with God to receive all that we need to see the way that we are to prepare a place for people to meet with God. This is not hyperbole. Track with me here, guys. In homes built with great skill, how many of you have ever been in a home and you're like, this place was created for the presence of God and his people? Like, this is a place of peace. Stoplights and crosswalks that save lives and cause traffic to flow. Do you think God cares about craftsmanship with something like that? Come on, what do you think, Andy? Do you think God cares about that? Come on. Landscaping that sings to us of the garden of God. You walk in and you go, oh, this speaks of something. Kitchens that bring joy of hospitality and in some cases organization. Manufacturing that brings great products that help ease the lives of mankind. I shared last week how Juanlapa, you guys that were here last week, Juanlapa in oh my goodness, now I don't remember where she was. Thailand, yeah, in Thailand, she sold ice cream and she's praying over her ice creams and saying, "Lord, this ice cream motorcycle with a freezer on the front of it is my Ark of the Covenant, and I want people to encounter your presence through me selling them ice cream. How I act, how I am, but I'm also praying over the ice cream that they're going to taste and see the Lord is good." And people came and they're like, "What's the deal with your ice cream? It tastes better, and I have other people's same brand, and it's not as good as yours." God actually infused the ice cream to make it superior so she could get to talk to them about his kingdom. How dumb is that? And the Lord's like, "I care if you're trying to serve people so that they understand I'm sons and daughters, you are absolutely, you bet your sweet patootie that I'm going to make your ice cream taste better than other people's." Are you with me? Yes, and he said that. It matters. Everything we do matters to God. Now, think about it this way. Wouldn't it be terrible if God just didn't really care about what you do? He just had a big section of your life that he just kind of considered like meaningless, or at worst like a necessary evil, like, oh, well, you know, just do that. I'll go watch someone else for a while. This is the part of your life that's meaningless. Thank God that's not true. Everything you do serves people. And when we serve people, we are worshiping God. Amen? We're joining him in his work. Man, my guy Grant, do you guys walk around here and see any ants? Not in this place. And Junction City's built on an ant hill. But Grant and his wife, they provide wonderful service. And you know what? I rejoice every time I come here because, actually, I need to call you. You need to come to my house because we have ants again. But I praise God for him. Are you with me? This is meaningful work that each of us does, and it brings glory to God, and it serves people. And when we serve people, we are worshiping God. And how we work is worship unto the Lord. Let's look at this. Let's go to Colossians 3, 23 through 24. It says, "Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You're serving the Lord Christ." You see that? Everything you do is unto the Lord. Matthew 25:40, Jesus is speaking in this parable, and he says, "Truly I say to you, as you did to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me." Did you guys see this? God is taking personally what we do in our work. It's unto him. I want to encourage each of you today. I want you to go home with this, and maybe we'll do a little wrap-up prayer. Jason, why don't you go ahead and bring up your first specialist? We're gonna hear some people talking about how they view their work as worship and how they work in these different spaces, and see how they serve is how they worship and serve God in their work. But at the end of this, I want us to be thinking about this. God, how do you see my work? How do you see my work? I know how I see my work currently, but how do you see it? And what's the way that you receive worship from me in this work? Because if you don't know the answer to that yet, you're getting ripped off a little bit, because it means something. So let's listen to a couple of our fantastic specialists, and then we'll wrap up with some prayer. We might come back and visit that, but I wanted you to have that question. Depending on how amazing things go with Jason, we might not need me back. Thank you, guys.
You're assuming that you just did an amazing job just now. You did it. You did it. You did a fine job, sir. Welcome, Abby Cox, ladies and gentlemen. You guys know probably that Abby, she works here about a day a week, pretty much doing our books. But that's only a little thing that you do. You actually have a full-time job. What do you do?
Yeah, I am a full-time volunteer. I volunteer at home taking care of my kids. So yeah, I'm just a stay-at-home mom.
Okay, did you hear that? Hold on, we're gonna pause right here. Did you hear the word? Just, yes, just. Now, the first question I was gonna ask you is, you know, what's something challenging about your context? But I kind of think you just highlighted it with a single word. Just.
Yes.
Why do you have that compulsion to use that word just?
Well, I think that since I started my journey in parenting and being a mom, I struggled just kind of right away with, like, where's the significance in this? Or where's the clear, like, A plus B equals C, or check off a box, like, oh, you did it. You accomplished it. You know, I'd come in from working full time, and that gave me a lot of satisfaction and felt fulfilled in that. And then I became a mom, and I was like, okay, doing the same thing every day and no no evidence that I did the dishes, that I changed 5 diapers because diaper needs to be changed again. And yeah, so I've struggled a lot with finding peace in what God has.
Are you trying to tell me that like Amara every day doesn't walk in the house and go, "Mom, you did an incredible job today. The house is clean. I'm clean." Like that's not a thing that happens on a regular basis.
No, she's great, but not that great.
So you have difficulty sometimes with the dailiness of it and feeling like it doesn't really matter. And on top of that, there's something else in your heart, sort of an unfulfilled desire you have. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I think for a long time I've had a desire to move overseas as a missionary to the Muslim world, and that's, you know, that's been this desire for a long time. So here I am, you know, 12 years since that desire started or longer, and I'm, you know, living in little Junction City, doing something that appears and has felt at times way less of the big thing. You know, the big thing, like you, I would feel, you know, so accomplished and be able to speak about my life and like, oh yeah, I'm sacrificing, I'm doing this work, and now I'm not doing that.
Yeah, Little Junction City. By the way, you will know that they call Junction City the Manhattan of the Pacific Northwest.
Oh.
That's what they. So I don't know where you get that.
I'm glad to be here.
So how do you? How? Abby, like you, so you can see this thing. I don't know how many of you guys can relate to this, of being in a current situation, work situation, or whatever, and desiring to be in a different place. You know, feeling like you're called to somewhere, but you can't do that just yet. So, how do you remain faithful? Where does that perspective come from?
Yeah, the Lord has definitely brought me on a journey in this, and finding the value and what faithfulness looks like. And I think I'm not a very organized person. I'm fairly organized, but I don't have like really
strong. She is with the books. Just trust us. She does a great job.
Shouldn't have said that. No, I'm not very, I don't have very strong routine. That's what I mean in my daily life. So faithfulness doesn't look like we wake up at the same time and we pray together and then we go and have this quiet time walking around Junction City, whatever. It doesn't look like that. But I think that where I have experienced God's faithfulness is through, is him being with me in a really throughout my life in every different situation that I've walked through, and I've had a good life, but he hasn't you know, withheld hardship necessarily, and he hasn't, you know, taken me out of different situations that I wish he would have, but he was with me. And I feel like that is something that that from that experience of him loving me in that way and showing his faithfulness to me in that way, that I am like, that is a huge part to me of what faithfulness looks like, is being with people, being with whoever's around you. For me, that's primarily my kids. And just trying to be very present and aware of what's going on and present. Yeah.
So faithfulness is showing up. And you've seen that as God, as your Father showing up there for you, being with you daily. So now that's what you're trying to demonstrate to your kids as a mother, to show up and to be present with them. A lot of us have trouble being present for various reasons. Maybe it's the digital world and our phones, or maybe it's other things. So how do you, what's a challenge that you have?
Yeah, the phone is a challenge, but my solution is I just don't charge my phone, so it's dead most of the time.
Abby's not ghosting you guys. She just hasn't had her phone on for 3 years.
Yeah. No, but I do have some, I try and put some pretty strong safeguards, boundaries around my phone because it can, you know, suck you in when you're like just chaos of kids and you just want to, you want to break, you want to step away, you don't want to hear all the questions and you just want to jump on Facebook and or some other thing and just scroll, whatever. So I think that's really important to be aware of your phone and to make sure you're putting it away. But for me, something that has been really hard and that always is pulling me away from being present is that the thing that's hard where it's accomplishing things. So I will just make a list that's as long as anything. And if I can accomplish all those things in the day, I feel really good. And I feel really good about myself. And like, that was a worthwhile day. But I probably wasn't very present with my children because I was like, oh, you know, like that's secondary to the big deal of accomplishing things. So what pulls me away from being present is really that accomplishment driven sort of list oriented thing.
So you have to show some initiative to be present with your children to not let all the other stuff take you away. And I love that you are so intentional, Abby. I think that's a wonderful example for all of us to see. This is what being faithful looks like for me. It means showing up with my children. It means serving them. And in doing that, I glorify God. I glorify God and I worship God by taking care of my children. Isn't that good stuff, you guys?
It sounds good when you wrap it up like that. Again, it's hard. It just feels difficult, you know, and the other difficult thing is, as a parent, you know, you're just exhausted, like to the point where, you know, you're up in the middle of the night with your three-month-old, you pick him up and it takes you a couple seconds to realize you're holding them upside down. I don't think that's happened to me. That was somebody else's story, not mine.
Not yours, no, not yours.
But I love it and it's also, I find days that it's hard to love it and hard to trust God that it's where I'm supposed to be. And
of course. Thank you, Abby. Wasn't that great? Thank you. Josiah Starr. Isn't that good? Man, God bless you, full-time volunteer position parents with your children. May God remove the word just from your explanation. It is good and beautiful work. Josiah.
Morning.
Hello. Just step up just a little bit. Josiah, you do not take care of your children full time.
Nope.
For shame, sir. What?
Thanks.
Josiah does not have children, but he is getting married soon, so that's fun. Josiah, tell us about what you do in your job.
Yeah, I work in construction, a little local construction company. I don't know if my brother-in-law's here. I work for my brother-in-law. We're a general contractor, but I primarily work in residential remodels, finished carpentry, stuff like that. So
you do a lot of, you work with clients, and you also do installing, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, seeing their, whatever their dream is for their room or their house become a reality, and working with the subcontractors and crew and whatever.
Tell me, what's something challenging about that particular context within what we're talking about?
I know, you know, sometimes as the job goes on and you're getting tired, there can be apathy. Apathy where you're like, I just don't care. You know, I'm tired. I'm doing this piece of trim. You know, does it really matter? Does it really matter if it looks good? And so I think that can be a challenge, is just keeping the right mindset of trying to do a good job and trying to bless them and serve them, like Josh was saying, serving them. So
yeah, I can see how it'd be hard to sort of stay in that mindset that this is important when you're dealing with a piece of trim, because, like, you know, what's the eternal significance of this moment? So how do you deal with that? How do you deal with that feeling that it doesn't actually matter?
Yeah, I think really starting the day, starting the job each day, trying to invite the Holy Spirit and remind myself the importance of the work and the importance, like you're saying, this eternal, like, yeah, the job that I'm doing for them is not going to heaven, but this person is going to heaven. And I don't know, when we show up each day, we really want to bring the kingdom of God into their house, and we want to be the peace in that spirit, and as we communicate, as we work, and so trying to keep that mindset, and then when I do start feeling that apathy of like, I'm just trying to get through the day, I'm just trying to move on to the next thing, just keeping that mindset like, what I'm doing right now is important, and like how I can make this look the best and really make this look like what they're hoping for is really serving them and honoring God and doing it with him.
And you guys are really intentional about leaving the way you deal with clients and things. So tell me a little bit about that.
Like, well, what do you mean?
Well, you
remember?
Remember when we were in my office?
Yeah, we were in
just
the office
before
today.
Service, and we talked about
things. We had a plan.
Yeah,
and I forgot.
You were talking about the Josiah Starr. I love this guy. You were telling me that just as a crew, you guys put a very high value on clear communication and honoring the homeowners.
Yeah, I mean, you know, construction people, they can be kind of rough people, and you know, certain types of people, and we just try to be, I don't know, we try to be really honoring, and we try to be really cleanly, we try to be really, when we, you know, walk in, we talk to them about their day, you know, and how they're doing, and we try to work around their space. We're in their house, you know, we're in their house for however long, and we're in their master bedroom, we're in their bathroom, you know, so how can we really honor their space and still, you know, make, we need to rip out some walls and do all these things, but how can we still just honor them and not just, honor and be intentional is kind of the best way to put it.
So that intentional honoring of the person,
then
it's no longer about the piece of trim, is it?
Yeah, it's really showing them value. Like, I value you, so I'm going to do this to the best I can. I'm gonna communicate well with you beforehand, you know, and I'm gonna try to, I don't know, yeah. Showing them value through the work that we do, I guess.
Right. It just makes me think of the example of the building of the Ark of the Covenant.
Yeah.
Like, it's even that gold and those things, like, none of these things were created in themselves to be eternal, but you are dealing with eternal, like, souls. You're dealing with
people,
sons and daughters of the Most High God.
Yeah.
And so by extending that sort of, like, desire to serve the people, even into cutting a piece of trim and deciding to do it right.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. And it's really rewarding, I feel like, when you get to the end of the job and they're like, I don't know, I think we really do bring a peace in the house. And we're just another construction company. There's so many, and we're not like way better than anyone in any way, but I think we do bring just the kingdom of God atmosphere. And people, I think, really enjoy hiring us and having us come back because we just bring that every day. And so just having that intentionality, like I'm gonna serve and I'm gonna be respectful and I'm gonna walk in the fruits of the Spirit. Even how we interact with our crew, you know, we're really honoring to our crew members and to the subcontractors that come in, showing that them value too. It's just the kingdom of God.
It's also practical, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, it's so easy to like make something more complicated and over spiritualize it, but at the end of the day, it's so practical.
Yeah.
Just loving people.
Yeah, that's really what it is. That's all I do. I don't work in construction. I just love people and use nail guns and stuff, so.
You love people with nail guns.
Yeah.
There we go. That's fantastic. And it really is true. You guys do wonderful work. They put in a luxury vinyl floor in our house during COVID, and it was wonderful.
Is Blake here?
What's that?
Blake's here. Blake probably did it. Where is he? There he is.
All Blake. Right. Yeah,
Blake
man.
Doesn't work for us, but he works with us, and he's awesome.
Yeah. So it really is true. I commend you guys for being so intentional about that. And you really can tell the difference when you are with people who care like that.
Yeah.
So well done, Josiah Starr, everybody. Josiah Starr. Pastor Joshua is on his way back up. You can't see him, but he's running. He's running so fast. Here he is. Ladies and gentlemen.
That was aging. That was dating myself right there. Does anybody know what that was? Everybody that's like over like 45 was like, that was the Bionic Man. The $6 million man. All right. Well, there was nobody. It was great. Wonderful finish. I did really enjoy, though, just for a moment, just to give you a little back office moment before we go to prayer, was that encouragement, boomerang, deflection action that you learned from your dad. Has anybody here ever tried to give Jeff Starr a compliment? You'll be like, Jeff, I got to tell you, man, you are one of the longest running leaders working with youth that I know, you know, 3 decades of working directly with youth and engaging in an incredible level. And he'll go, no, you. I learned that from you. And I'm like, that cannot possibly, that's not even factually true. But he can't do it. He can't receive it without a little blowback, a little blessing blowback. So anyway, just keep an eye out for that. Don't let him get away with it. We're going to have a church-wide intervention. No blessing boomerangs with Jeff. It stops now. We're going to teach him how to take encouragement and just hold it and say, thank you. I don't know where he is. He ran out of here. He must have felt something in the spirit. He's like, I got to get out of here. All right, here's what I want to do. We're going to wrap up with this. I want us to take a moment before we go to prayer, and I want to ask the Lord, I want to just, each of us, some of you might hear from him now, some of you might hear from him later on in this week or in the next couple of weeks, but I want to ask him right now. I want you to just close your eyes. I'm going to ask on your behalf. No, I'm going to have you repeat it, and here's what it is. Father, would you show me how you see my work? Would you just ask him that? Father, show me how you see my work. How do you receive worship through what I do? And then one more. Father, why does my work matter? Why does my work, what I'm doing, why does it matter? Lord, we thank you that you have answers for each of these questions in each of our lives, and they're very specific to each assignment that you've given us, to the seasons that we're in, to the amount that we can be entrusted with at this time, to the strategies that you have, Lord, but you're in it. And I want to ask that this would be the beginning of a conversation between each of us as your sons and daughters and you. That we would no longer be getting robbed of our identity as sons and daughters who are joining you in your work here. So Lord, will you bring revelation? Will you bring us into deeper relationship with you in these things? Will you help us to know that you are with us? Because we want to invite you all the more to show us how to work with you in each thing you've given us to do. Help us to value our work the way you do. Help us to do each thing unto you and then unto people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.